Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, December 10th, 2024. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. District 6 moderate in the Idaho House, Lori McCann passed over for Education Committee chair position after serving as vice chair and a vacancy at the top. Gun group asks for new taxes and permits for Washington firearm sales. And family of Spokane High School student who died during routine wisdom tooth extraction sues. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Washington-based Alliance for Gun Responsibility says it will try again to get the legislature to require permits for gun buyers and impose a new excise tax on gun purchases during the 2025 legislative session. The Alliance released its 2025 legislative agenda Monday, which includes restricting open carry in parks and public buildings, banning bulk purchases of firearms and ammunition, and adding more oversight for gun dealers. One of the proposed rules would clarify how law enforcement would conduct inspections of gun stores when ensuring compliance with new in-store surveillance rules and storage for the guns in the store. Alliance for Gun Responsibility Chief Executive Officer Renee Hopkins says the top of the group's agenda is a permit-to-purchase system. Similar programs exist in other states. The program would include fingerprints, a Washington State Patrol background check, proof of completion of a firearm safety training program, and demonstration of safe handling. The group also wants the Washington State Police to annually recheck the eligibility of permit holders to determine if the person in the last year was prohibited from owning a firearm due to a crime conviction or protection order. Hopkins wrote in a press release, "Permit-to-purchase laws are the single most effective policy to save lives and reduce gun violence. All of our work in Washington over the last decade has been leading to this pivotal moment." The group also wants an excise tax on firearm and ammunition sales similar to the 6.5% tax Colorado voters levied on firearm sales in last month's elections. There is already a federal excise tax on guns. Governor-elect Bob Ferguson has told the Alliance he supports the concept behind their legislation. Democratic Representative Liz Berry of Seattle says she will introduce the permit-to-purchase law in the legislature next year. Berry said, "We've built a strong gun safety infrastructure with our existing laws. Now it's time for Washington to join the dozen other states to pass the life-saving permit-to-purchase system." Bellevue-based Second Amendment Foundation founder Alan Gottlieb said of the two proposals, "No other enumerated constitutional right requires a permit from the government to be exercised. Can you imagine requiring a journalist to get a permit before he can write or publish a breaking news story? Likewise, the exercise of other constitutional rights cannot be subjected to a punitive tax. Why single out the Second Amendment?" Gottlieb noted Washington has already imposed background checks on gun purchases, although the Alliance for Gun Responsibility wants a more rigorous approach.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by the Moscow Food Co-op, specializing in food, goods, and programs that nourish and nurture our community. The Moscow Food Co-op is located at 121 East 5th Street. For more information, visit moscowfood.coop, call 882-8537, or find them on Facebook. KRFP is also sponsored by
Tie-Dye Everything, with locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located near 6th Street at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, you can find Tie-Dye Everything at tiedye-everything.com.
The Idaho House Republican Caucus passed over Education Committee Vice Chair Lori McCann of Lewiston, who was seemingly in line to become committee chair after Chair Julie Yamamoto of Caldwell lost in the May primary. Instead, Republicans chose second-term Representative Douglas Pickett of Oakley to be the Education Committee chair starting in January, in a year when right-wing lawmakers expect to finally pass a bill funneling significant taxpayer money into private schools, including religious schools. The Idaho Education News reports Pickett is possibly more conservative than Yamamoto. Yamamoto was targeted in the primary because she opposes using taxpayer money for private schools. The far-right Idaho Freedom Foundation endorsed her opponent, Kent Marmon of Caldwell, who used the phrase school choice on his campaign website during the primary. Representative McCann, who was passed over, is also against school choice legislation because of its impact on public schools. But she survived a primary challenge from two candidates from the far right in the primary for one of the House seats in District 6, which includes all of Latah and Lewis counties, a large portion of rural Nez Perce County, and a small section of the city of Lewiston, winning by 200 votes. One of her opponents, Colton Bennett of Moscow, said directing public money towards private schools would not hurt public schools. The candidate who came in third in the primary, Dave Dalby of Moscow, also favored passing a law giving taxpayer money to private schools, calling it a path towards value-based education. McCann also won the general election against Democratic challenger Trish Carter Goodhart of Lapway. Far-right Republicans were clearly targeting McCann for not being right-wing enough. The Latah, Lewis, and Nez Perce County Republican Party Central Committees all sanctioned McCann in 2023 for her votes that did not align with the state Republican platform. The three county Republican Party Central Committees' disdain for McCann's votes may have impacted the Republican House caucus's decision to vote against McCain in the behind-closed-door pre-session organizing meeting held last week. In Latah County, the Republican Party Central Committee heard complaints about 13 of McCann's votes in the legislature in 2023 and voted to sanction her for her votes on five of them. One was McCann's vote against the law that takes away the freedom of Idahoans to have a safe workplace during a pandemic. House Bill 155, which Governor Brad Little signed, makes it illegal for employers to require a coronavirus vaccine as a condition of employment, and it also attacks culture by making it illegal to make having a coronavirus vaccine a condition for entry to a public venue. If another coronavirus pandemic were to hit with the severity of the recent COVID-19 pandemic, businesses that want to keep their workforces safe would have to close, and cultural events would likely not be able to take place safely with the prohibition of a vaccine mandate. Instead of commending McCann for voting against House Bill 155, the Latah County Republican Party Central Committee voted to reprimand her for it. Another of the five votes that brought a reprimand from the Latah County Republican Party Central Committee was McCann's vote against House Bill 314, which would have allowed parents and patrons to sue library districts and schools for up to $2,500 if they were found to have distributed material to a minor that lawmakers defined as harmful. That bill did not pass in 2023, but a similar bill passed this year. McCann also voted against overriding Republican Governor Brad Little's veto of the bill in 2023. The Central Committee also voted to reprimand her for her vote against House Bill 265, which would have banned children from being present at drag shows, and that would ban drag shows from occurring in public buildings. The bill, written by Idaho Family Policy Center President Blaine Consati, would also allow parents or their offspring to sue for up to $10,000 if an underage member of their family witnessed part of a live drag show. The damages would be for psychological, emotional, economic, or physical harm suffered. The minor or the parents could sue up to 4 years after the incident. The language of the bill is vague as to what constitutes sexually explicit. During debate on the bill, Republican Representative Bruce Skog of Nampa smeared drag performers as perverts, saying, really, this is simply a protect the children from perverts bill. The bill passed 48-21 in the House, but did not advance in the Senate in 2023. Another vote getting a sanction was House Bill 259, which prevents anyone except county clerks, election officials, election officers, or employees of the state from distributing absentee ballot applications. Despite questions about the need for such a bill and a statement from the Idaho Secretary of State's office that there is no widespread voter fraud in Idaho, the House passed it 47-22 in 2023, but it did not move forward in the Senate. The fifth bill was House Bill 285, a property tax bill. During the County Republican Party Central Committee meeting in Moscow in August 2023, where the crowd debated before the vote to sanction McCann, Christchurch official, committee member, and Latah County Commission candidate from 2022, Gabriel Wrench, testified against McCann. Wrench said Republicans had lost their way and don't know what it means to be conservative anymore. Wrench said the library and drag show bills would be a hedge against what's happening in other states where conservatives are dealing with worse books and, quote, pornographic parades. He said those are bigger issues that could be coming to Idaho. Wrench said Republicans are so used to the shackles we don't even know what freedom and liberty looks like anymore. There's inconsistencies across Republicans, and I hope this process will bring back the Republican Party to its principles. Not only did the Republicans pass over McCann for the House Education Committee chair position at last week's closed-door session, but McCann lost her seat on the Education Committee altogether. Freshman District 7 Republican Representative Kyle Harris of Lewiston will be on the committee, and the new vice chair will be Republican Dale Hawkins of Fernwood, who is from the extreme right of the Republican Party. The new chair of the Education Committee, second-term Representative Douglas Pickett of Oakley, did not serve on the Education Committee during his first term. He voted in the House Revenue and Taxation Committee in March for a controversial bill to create a $50 million tax credit and grant program for private school tuition. The bill died in the committee. The Idaho Education News reports Pickett has a mixed voting record on Idaho Launch, which gives education grants to high school graduates going into fields deemed in demand. The far right has been skeptical of Idaho Launch, and it has been a project of Governor Brad Little. Meanwhile, the Senate Education Committee may be moderating a bit. Dave Lent of Idaho Falls will remain as chair, and two of the three committee members who sponsored private school funding bills during the last 2 years will be leaving the committee. Those are Republican Den Hartog of Meridian, who will be moving up to the Senate Majority Leader, and Brian Lenny of Nampa, who will take the post as Commerce and Human Resources Committee Vice Chair. Of the three who sponsored private school funding bills, only Republican Tammy Nichols of Middleton will remain on the Senate Education Committee. Far-right committee member Scott Herndon of Sagal lost in the May primary to former Senator Jim Woodward of Sagal, who is seen as more moderate, and Woodward will be one of four new Republican members of the committee. Woodward says he is a skeptic of school choice proposals. He wrote in the Idaho Education News voter guide this year, any expenditure of public funds requires accountability for public funds. The voucher programs that I've seen to date do not have adequate accountability measures. Other new Republican members of the committee are Kevin Cook of Idaho Falls, Van Burtenshaw of Territon, and Christy Zito of Hammett. Cook will serve as vice chair. Burtonshaw and Cook both opposed two private school funding bills during the 2023 session, one to create a universal education savings account program and the other to add tuition as an eligible expense to the Empowering Parents Grant Program. Hammett votes with the far-right Legislative Freedom Caucus. The Latah County Sheriff's Department is helping the mother of a runaway locate her daughter. The Sheriff's Department posted a picture of 17-year-old Emilia Riggs of Moscow, who was last seen wearing baggy black pants, a black zip-up hoodie with a green hoodie underneath. Riggs is 5'2" and has connections to people in Lewiston and Potlatch. Sheriff's Department Captain Shane Anderson told the Daily News Riggs has continued to post on social media and there is nothing to indicate she's in danger. Latah County Sheriff's officers say they also want to check on a homeless man last seen at Scenic 6 Park in Potlatch. Anderson said the man is not considered missing, but they want to check on his status because of the cold weather. Officers are not ready to release the man's name at this time, but said he was last seen wearing all black rain gear. The Sheriff's Department number is 208-882-2216. That's 208-882-2216.
In the Wyoming Governor's new supplemental state budget, the biggest line item by far is wildfire recovery. Governor Mark Gordon on Monday gave a virtual speech to kick off several days of agency budget meetings in which legislators request supplements to the 2025-2026 biennial budget adopted in March. Gordon noted the historic nature of the 2024 wildfire season, which he said burned 850,000 acres across the state and cost more than $55 million in suppression efforts. That price tag emptied several state coffers, he said, and he requested $130 million be added to the new budget for similar purposes.
Without further appropriation, Wyoming will not have sufficient unobligated funds to effectively respond to future fires or other potential emergencies, such as flooding or rapid runoff or massive winter and spring snowstorms, which, as we know, are not uncommon to Wyoming.
Those funds would also help with recovery efforts after wildfire, such as preventing invasive plant species from taking over burned landscapes and providing assistance to restore lost infrastructure and stabilize watersheds. Gordon also requested funds to both mitigate past federal actions and prepare for future ones. One example is the federal COVID-era American Rescue Plan Act, designed to fund local governments' infrastructure projects. The deadline for those plans was this year. Many proposed projects in Wyoming were delayed, Gordon said, because of federal deadlines and supply chain issues. He asked for more than $20 million in mineral royalty grants to fill the gaps.
The unprecedented influx of federal programs, beginning with the CARES Act, skewed Wyoming's homegrown approach to addressing community emergencies and needs. And this is the time we can return to the more conservative and direct approach our state is accustomed to.
Gordon also asked that two additional senior attorneys be funded for the Attorney General's office to continue challenging federal regulations that, he says, hinder our ability to manage agriculture, energy, water, and wildlife. I'm Kathleen Shannon with Wyoming News Service.
The family of a 17-year-old who died during a routine wisdom tooth removal surgery at Liberty Oral and Facial Surgery in Spokane in June has sued. Mark Edge said he waited in the parking lot while his son Eric went into the dental office to have the tooth removed, but the business was swarmed with paramedics and firefighters shortly after that. Mark Edge said he went inside and fought with firefighters to let him see his son. He called his wife Sarah, and the two watched as paramedics performed CPR on Eric over and over again. Sarah Edge told the Spokesman Review her son died due to a common reaction to anesthesia and alleges Dr. Brian McClelland could have responded to the reaction in a timely manner. She alleges McClelland was in the role of anesthesiologist and surgeon that day to increase profits. McClelland's attorney, Steve Lamberson, said in a statement, he and his staff have been deeply impacted, but he followed safety protocols and met the standard of care. The family said Eric Edge was a student at Gonzaga Prep High School who would have been a senior this fall. They said he talked about possibly attending Washington State University to study engineering. The Edge family's attorney, George Arend of the Luvera Law Firm, said the reaction Eric Edge had to the anesthesia is so common that anesthesiologists prepare for it. Arend said it's rare for someone to perform a surgery while at the same time administering, monitoring, and responding to complications of anesthesia. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow Pullman area, it will be mostly cloudy through tomorrow night, low 29 tonight, high 36 tomorrow, low 28 tomorrow night, 40% chance of snow Thursday, mostly cloudy, high 36, new snow accumulation less than half an inch possible, 50% chance of snow Thursday night, mostly cloudy, low 27, new snow accumulation less than half an inch, and on Friday, 30% chance of precipitation, chance of rain before noon, then a slight chance of drizzle and snow. Mostly cloudy, high 36, new snow accumulation less than half an inch. Current temperature is 32.